Welcome back to the Art of Healing podcast. You guys, I'm welcoming myself back because I haven't been here in a long time. I am sorry for my absence. You know, speaking of the topics that we cover, mental health, relationships, taking care of yourself, things like that, I've been doing a little bit of that myself. I've been taking care of me. It's been the holidays. A lot of things have been happening. And so I've been spending time with my wife. So thank you very much. I like you guys, but I think I like my wife better. I know I like my wife better. So I've been spending some time with her. So that's what's been going on. Today, I will say this. I'm going to start doing more podcasting than I have previously. So if you're like, Trevor, we missed the podcast, don't worry. It's coming back. I'm not going to like commit to every week because I'm not sure. But I will say we are going to be pumping out some episodes and some good ones. I've got some great guests coming up, people I'm really excited about. Today, I'm talking with Erica Turner. And Erica, you might know her on Instagram or TikTok or other places as My Relationship Reset. She talks a lot about attachment styles, anxious attachment, and we're talking specifically about attachment today, from the lens that says, if I'm more on the anxious, kind of preoccupied side, and my partner's more avoidant, what are some things that I can do? Like, how do I manage that situation? How do I work through that? So that's our topic. But speaking of managing dynamics and improving our relationships, there's been some questions for me about the connection course. And as a thank you for being here and being part of the podcast and listening, I'm going to give you a discount code to access the connection course for 15% off. But first, I want to answer some of those questions that people have been asking me. So to give you an overview of what the connection course is, it's my course that I put together. And my hope was going into it, the vision was for those who I can't see in person. Like, I work with couples in person oftentimes or online, but for those I don't actually get to chat with, what is the next best resource that I could provide? Can I provide almost the exact same experience that I do live with my couples in a format where you're following content and it feels like I'm sitting right in front of you, but you're following prompts, I'm guiding you module to module through a course format? And that is exactly what I've done. And where the material comes from, it's kind of three sources. One is, what have I seen actually work in my own life? That's kind of the first proving ground. If it doesn't work for me, then okay, I'm not gonna get that excited about it, and I'm not sure if it's, you know, something I can really preach about or talk about. And the next piece is there good evidence and data behind it? And everything in the connection course is evidence-based, founded in really solid research. And then the next part is, okay, let's take those first two and apply them to other people. Let's see if they work for those that I work with. And the principles that have come to the surface, they've done well in my life, they've done well in the research, and they've done well for my couples, are the principles that I'm using in the connection course to help guide you. And so if you're like, well, who's it really for? I'll tell you who is it for. There's a few applications, because these principles are pretty universal in the sense that if you are looking to increase trust because maybe there's been some trust broken in your relationship, the connection course is absolutely for you. If you have more conflict than you would like, you just have those little kerfuffles or squabbles or arguments or whatever, or maybe there's a lot of arguing, the connection course is absolutely for you. If you want to learn how to set boundaries, ask for things that you need, maybe just show up more in your relationship and have a bit more of a voice, the connection course is absolutely for you. If you want deeper empathy and understanding of your partner so that maybe you can help them or you can show up for them in a new way, but you feel a little bit confused on how to do so, connection course is for you. If you are in a relationship where things are really going well and you like what's happening, but you just want more closeness, you want deeper conversations, you want to relate on a deeper level, the connection course is absolutely for you. So that's a lot of application. And I guess one more that I would add is that if you are going into a relationship and you want a few things to prepare, it's not specifically a premarital course, but it will absolutely help you because, you know, I think giving people exact scripts or like rigid guidelines, it limits the capacity that you have to apply the principle behind the guideline. And so in the Connection course, I'm not telling you this is exactly what to say. I do give you some forms and some scripts that you can use, but the principle behind them is what's really important. And a principle is pretty broadly applied. And so that's why there's so many applications for the Connection course. And that's why I say this is absolutely for you. And that's a strong word, and I use it on purpose because it's absolutely for building trust, making repairs, increasing closeness and connection, decreasing conflict, and just building a closer and better relationship, even if things are going pretty well. So how we do that, it's a bit of a journey. And you know, even if you access the Connection course or not, the description of this journey can be helpful for you in thinking about where you're at in your understanding of your relationship and what you're doing to impact your relationship for the better. So here's the journey I'm going to take you on in the Connection course. First, we're going to do a module to help increase feelings of motivation. Motivation around, okay, I'm making some changes in my relationship, or I'm learning some things. I need some motivation just to go to the next module, watch Trevor's next video, and apply the principles through the workbook, which, by the way, is a digital download workbook that pairs with each video. So it's like I'm sitting in front of you, talking you through some things, helping you think about some stuff, and then I'm giving you actual structure on how to utilize those things. So the first one is all about motivation. And then the subsequent modules, and there's a handful of modules on building awareness is the general theme, but specifically within that, you know, okay, why do we want to build awareness? Well, we want to build awareness so that we can understand the deep underlying root cause challenges that maybe bring disconnection in our relationship, that bring up conflict. What are the things below the surface that are actually driving this so that we can stop them, so that we can be close, so we can just be closer than we've ever been? That's one big piece of it. Another big piece is to build empathy for yourself and your partner. Man, if I build that empathy, it just increases your capacity for that closeness. And so what we'll do is we'll help you increase your own awareness around how you see love, how you experience love. What are some of the deeper underlying feelings in your relationship? And the same thing for your partner. We're gonna look back at your history, your childhood. We're gonna do a lot of works around attachment in particular. And then we're gonna take this to the next level. And most people get to that point where they're like, cool, I got some ideas on my own attachment, my own understanding, and maybe they get into their partners. That's kind of next level. But let's say that most people get there. The next step that people really miss is looking at, okay, how do those two patterns, these two people and their history and their feelings and everything that's going on for them, how do they work together in a system? Because if we can understand the system of the relationship, we can greatly impact the relationship. If we only understand one side of it, it's kind of hard, but we got to understand both pieces. So how does my nuanced feelings, reactions, thoughts and behaviors impact my partner? And then how does that wind up coming back full circle to me and vice versa? Because we're in an infinite loop of responses, emotions, and connection or disconnection between the two of us. So if that sounds like a lot, don't worry. I'll walk you through it very simply so that you can walk away with some real tools on A, how to understand these things, and the understanding itself. And once we have that empathy and that understanding, we then go into learning how to apply it, and specifically through conversations. How do we have better conversations so that it leads to us being close, so that we can make repairs, so that we can build the most secure and connected relationship we've ever had? That's the goal of kind of the second half of the Connection course. So I lead you through different conversations to have and things to consider during those conversations. These conversations look like making repairs when things don't go so well, building trust back in the relationship, you know, exiting conflict or reducing it, and without avoiding it, but actually minimizing conflict, building closeness and security and trust through good conversations. And this one is so, so important because, you know, couples, they can come in and see a therapist, and the therapist can give them all the knowledge in the world, really cool things. But until they experience that knowledge through application, and I'm talking about emotional experience, they oftentimes don't change, and it doesn't change anything about the way they feel in their relationship. And that is so important. And now you're like, oh my gosh, Trevor, like roll your eyes, like, it's about feelings. But it is. If you don't feel secure in your relationship, you're not going to act secure. If you don't act secure, we're going to lead to conflict, and it's not going to be good. And I want better for you. And so that's why I created this course, the Connection Course. So it goes from motivation, building awareness and empathy, putting that into application. And through that application, you build an experience that builds security in your relationship, safety in your relationship, closeness. That is the end goal. And that is the hope that I have for you. And again, like I said, I was going to give you a discount code as just a thank you for being part of the podcast. It really means a lot to me, to my family, me and Elise. And at this point, it's just me, Elise, and Frank. We don't have any kids yet. Frank's my dog. But it just means a lot to us that you're here. So if you go to the link in this podcast description, or if you go on Instagram, TikTok, wherever I'm found, the main link there, you can find the Connection Course. And there upon checkout, if you type in the word POD or the code POD, like pod 1515, POD 15, and that's all capitals, that will give you a 15% discount as my thank you just for being here and for tuning into the podcast. So if you have any other questions, again, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram, TikTok. Actually, you can't message on TikTok, but Instagram or email. So without further ado, let's jump into my conversation with Erica Turner. Sweet. Sorry about that craziness. I'm glad that we have this chance to hang out and have this conversation.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I popped into your Instagram live for a minute just now. That was fun.
Yeah. Thank you. I went overtime.
Hey, that's how it goes sometimes. You get good questions coming in and you just wind up chatting it out.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, Erica, I've been following your account for a while, seen some really great things that you've done. And I said, man, I gotta have a conversation with Erica. I think we align on a lot of things. I'm curious for those who are listening, just to give a little bit of background on you. And I actually don't know this either. You're in the space of mental health and relationships. You know, your relationship reset is like the name of kind of your brand out there. What led you to this field and even just that name, you know, your relationship reset? Why, what's important in those words?
Yeah. I guess what led me to this work is, of course, my own journey of healing anxious attachment and codependency, and resetting the learned functioning. That's kind of one of my biggest pushes. And when I talk about healing is, I'm a believer that our functioning is very much learned, patterns of relating. So we are all, we all have the power to reset those dynamics and learn what healthy looks like.
I love that. I love that. It's definitely a process that we do have to relearn some of those things that are kind of encoded in us. And that's a bit of the topic that we're kind of working towards today is, you know, some have more anxious encoding, some have more avoidant type of an encoding or I guess program that they've learned growing up and things like that. And I think a lot of what I, you know, and we can dance around this topic in any way that we want today, but a lot of what I hear from, I think those who are a bit more on the anxious side tend to pursue mental health resources, which makes sense, right? They're a bit more anxious, a bit more pursuant in that process. It aligns with their coping. And so oftentimes I get the questions of like, oh, like what should I be aware of or how should I cope in a relationship where my partner is on the more avoidant side of things? Because oftentimes we'll see that they pair up, they match up. I'm sure you see that in your work all the time. And so that's kind of the direction or the some of the topics that are questions that I wanted to visit on today is putting our heads together and saying, yeah, how do we help those who are in that situation where they maybe feel a bit more anxiously attached and the others, their partner is a bit more avoidant. Yeah. So I think we'll head down that road if that sounds all right to you.
Great. Yeah.
I love that. So, where in the world are you even located? I know you said you're in Eastern time zone. I forgot to ask. I'm over here in Utah, and it's like snowing like crazy today.
I'm in Atlanta
Oh,
and
okay.
it was 50 degrees and sunny, and I'm jealous of the
Are
snow.
you really? I feel like people out there would normally be like, "Oh no, I'm glad. Keep your snow."
No, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Did you grow up out there?
I'm from DC area originally, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
So used to like these more, like no snow, so I'm always wanting snow.
That's awesome. Yes, especially around Christmas. It feels like it just adds to the whole, the whole scene. It's like the world gets
Right.
decorated all of a
The
sudden.
festivity of it all. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have it. Well, I love that. I'm curious, when you started getting into this work, you say from your own journey, and we're talking about those different attachment styles, which side of the coin do you feel like you were more on when you started this journey? What did you bring in to your own path? Were you more on that anxious or that avoidant spectrum?
Oh yeah, definitely the anxious, you
Yeah.
know, just complete anxiety, fear, distress, worry about what the other person was doing all the time. Are they going to choose me? Do they like me? Why haven't they called? Just fearing them leaving. It was debilitating. You can't even think because, or think about what you're supposed to do, like, work, job, school, because you're just entrenched in someone else, or should I say, I guess, enmeshed.
Yeah.
So yeah, totally anxious.
Yeah. I'm curious, did you find yourself in positions where you were in relationships or dating others or whatever, where the other person was more on that avoidance stance,
Oh
coming
yes.
from that question today, you're like going, "Oh yeah, I was there."
Yeah, totally, like in line with the live I just did on, I was always choosing the unavailable person, avoidant, unavailable, toxic, unfulfilling, whoever couldn't be what I wanted them to be, that's who I wanted.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm curious, as you've done your work now, I mean, I think what's challenging sometimes for the more anxiously attached is they don't really understand where the avoidant type partner is coming from. It's like, well, first, it's hard to understand because you don't get a lot of information in that situation, right? There's a lot of withdrawal, a lot of like stonewalling, kind of going in internal. And so first, there's not opportunities to empathize and get it and kind of make sense of it. But it's also kind of it's just hard to understand another person in general. I'm curious, what are some of the things that you started to unpack or realize about the avoidant attachment style and those types that maybe kind of lighten the burden and kind of helped you pull your head up and go like, oh wow, like look at all this amazing information. Like what do you feel like those who are listening who maybe are in your situation or like the situation you were in, I should say, what are some of the things that you started to pick up on that you feel like, hey, these guys need to know this. Whoever's listening needs to know this. I think it could help them.
I would definitely say most simply that, they have their own stuff too, that through educating myself on attachment theory, attachment styles, right? The more avoidant, and I always like to distinguish between, the more fearful avoidant and the dismissive avoidant, because I think there is a big distinction there. But they have their own wounding, They've experienced their own emotional neglect, emotional abandonment, their own attachment trauma, and it's just coming out on, the other side of the coin, right? Like I'm leaning into the relationship and they're leaning away from it. And realizing it like had less to do about me and less to do about my worth or enoughness and more to do with their own healing or lack thereof. That was helpful.
When we talk about, you say they have their own healing, their own wounding. for those who are like pretty familiar with this topic, that's going to be like, oh yeah, I get that. But for those who are maybe starting to dip their toe into this world, what do we mean by they have their own wounding, and how is that related to this presentation of attachment style?
Yeah. So of course, for those who are learning, our attachment styles, I like to conceptualize it as attachment styles are a result of how we were raised, right? Mm-hmm. I developed this style of how to attach and bond and relate and function within a relationship based on my earliest relationship, right? Makes sense. So I learned to attach either anxiously, avoidantly, disorganized, that's a whole other lane, or securely, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And this is all based on what we call attachment theory, which is rooted in, you know, the study of parent-child relationships and how a child functions in relation to, I mean, the study was done with the mother, right? Mm-hmm. So when I say that an avoidantly attached person has their own wounding, actually, let me back up and say attachment styles are rooted in how well a parent was able to be there for the child, let's say, mostly. Mm. How well a parent was able to meet the needs of the child.
Yeah.
Right? So if my parent is consistently there for me, meeting my needs, attentive, attuned, I can trust my parent to be there for me, I'm going to grow up relatively secure because I know you're there for me and I feel safe. For the anxious, the parent is sometimes there.
Mm-hmm.
But not. What does inconsistency do? It breeds anxiety.
Yeah.
So I develop this more anxious. Are you going to be there? Or are you not? For the avoidant, the consistent theme is that you're not there for me. I cannot rely on you to be there for me and meet my needs. I cannot trust you and I feel very unsafe with you. So I withdraw, become avoidant, and rely on myself to be there for myself, manage my needs, and just become heavily reliant on myself. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I think along the theme that I maybe was touching on earlier is that I feel like the avoidant attachment in particular is pretty widely misunderstood.
Yes.
And I feel like maybe you see this as well, but sometimes when I like post things on social media that try to increase some empathy or some awareness around that avoidance style, I get a lot more pushback. I get a lot of like mad comments about like, and it's usually directed towards men because men tend to be a bit more on the avoidance scale. Something in either culture or biology leads us that way. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of like, oh, well, if he was just mature enough, or if he blah, 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 blah. And it's like, whoa, what is going on here? And my hope is that like through this conversation, we increase that awareness and also like empathy. Because usually I tell this when I'm working with the couples that I'm not there to help them find a solution like at all. But the solution is in increasing understanding, empathy, and slowing down. And all of a sudden, boom, you have a solution. You don't even know kind of where it came from, but it just shows up. And I think there's probably a lot of solutions baked into just understanding this avoidant attachment style. I don't know if you've seen similar things as I have.
Yeah, totally. I've posted things on, you know, ways to respond to your avoidant partner and see comments of, you know, don't deal with an avoidant partner. Just and that's just not helpful for someone who's, you know, maybe 5 years into a relationship and they're just starting to learn about attachment styles and they're just starting to realize, oh, my partner's avoidant and I'm anxious, right? Like, we're 5 years in, we've got to figure this out.
Yeah.
We deserve to, you know, let's try.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's give this a real shot. Like I actually care about this person. I don't just want to like quit on them. So that the Instagram comments section isn't necessarily my best advice. So I'll stay away from that. I'm curious for that person though, who's like, yeah, I'm like 5 years into this thing. My partner is much more avoidant. And I do want to understand, and I do want a bit of a direction. What are some of the questions? I like to frame it this way. Like, what are some of the questions they maybe want to start asking themselves or start considering about their relationship? Not necessarily what people want them to consider on Instagram, like, oh, should you stay or should you go? It's like, okay, that's probably not the first one to consider, maybe eventually in certain cases. But what are the questions that you would say, like, hey, here's some things to think about. What would you want them to ask themselves?
Right. Yeah. I would imagine that, if you're just starting to realize these dynamics, if you're just starting to realize I'm anxious or they're avoidant, right? Like if we're just starting to learn about our relational patterns and what's been going on, I would also imagine that we're just starting to learn too about ourselves, what matters to us. So I would ask that person, what is it that you need? What are your core relationship needs, so that you can have a clear understanding of what it is that you're wanting from this avoidant partner, so that you can begin with communicating that.
I think that's a really, really important question, because the more anxious, pursuant type is going to, in a way, like subconsciously seek for their needs to be met through criticism rather than through asking for what they need. And so I love that, like getting clear, like, what do you actually need? Well, let's say that instead of what you don't need. Like, you always do this. I was like, well, hold on, like, what do you want them to always do instead of not do? That feels a lot better. And so I think that's really important, like highlighting what is it that you actually need. Pretty sound advice.
Yeah, that's where I begin.
What do you feel like starts to happen when people identify their needs? Because that's not instinctive to go, oh, I have an avoidant partner. Like, I got to figure out how to pry something out of them. Like, I need them to be emotional. That's like what our first thought might be. But instead, you're going, no. Forget all that for a minute. Focus on your needs. Why is that such an important lever for them at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I think for one, it's just grounding, and it really prompts you to connect to yourself and just take the other person out of the equation just for a moment to really be with yourself and realize all that anger, all that criticism, all that, frustration that you've been spewing towards your partner is really rooted in my needs are going unmet. And I haven't been able to, maybe in a productive way, advocate for them because maybe I haven't even really concretely named them. So I think it opens the door for me to be more aware of myself and have this like relationship to my needs of like, oh, this is what I need. And so then I can more constructively figure out, okay, how do I want to address this and communicate this with my partner and begin to advocate for what I need.
And I think that unlocks so much for the more avoidant type as well, because the avoidant type, oftentimes, people think that they're just like not emotional. Like, oh yeah, my husband's like, he's not an emotional person. He doesn't have any emotions. He doesn't feel that. He doesn't all this. And I just call big fat BS on that. Like, they have emotions deep down in there, and a lot of times their emotions are related to some sort of fear of like not getting it right, not being good enough, not, hitting that mark, or not being understood. And so I might as well just stay silent. Or they're afraid of, making things worse. Oh, I don't want to say anything because this is just going to get so much worse. And so to give, give them clear understanding of what you're actually needing, it's like music to their ears. Oftentimes people would think like, oh, I can't tell them what I need because they're not going to listen, or they're not going to respond, or they're not going to do this or that, or I've been telling them what I need. And I like to challenge and go, hold on, slow down. Are you actually telling them what you need, or are you just like criticizing and complaining? Because most of the time it's kind of like this golden ticket for the avoidant attachment to hear what the more anxious attachment is actually needing. I don't know if you've seen that, where it kind of starts to unlock possibilities for the avoidant. Have you, do you see that playing out in similar ways?
Yeah, I think that the like you're saying, there's a reason that the avoidant struggles, right, to be emotional, to express themselves, to lean into conflict, because again of these learned experiences of what that was like, If I have all these negative experiences of being emotional and it getting thrown in my face around a parent or, another one for that more fearful avoidant is that like enmeshed family dynamic, right? So, my ability to connect with my parent was dependent on me being this like emotional support for my parent. And so emotions from my partner feel very daunting, overwhelming because I have this history of having to be this emotional rock. So if I'm emotional with this person now, it's going to feel really daunting and I'm going to take on this responsibility of having to manage their feelings because of this learned experience of being something that I shouldn't have had to be for my parent. So all that's at play. But like you said, understanding why is my partner so resistant to this emotional intimacy is crucial.
And I think when we start to see, well, something that came up for me when you were talking about that is that when we start to see our partner like ourselves, if we're maybe more of that anxious, pursuant type of attachment, our partner's more avoidant, they're more likely to withdraw and stonewall or shut down, whatever. If we start to see them like us and realize that, wow, they probably feel a lot of the same stuff, they just cope with it in a different way. Oh, that's like the coolest little moment. Because all of a sudden, and people say, negative or positive emotion, I like to think about it as in terms of like connecting or disconnecting emotion. Because maybe you're both feeling a bit sad or lonely or misunderstood or afraid. And I've sometimes seen those emotions, though they be on that negative side, become some of the most connecting topics. Like, wow, you turn to me and you're like, oh my gosh, you're afraid of that too? Like, you're feeling that as well? Whoa, we're a lot more of the same than we thought we were. And that is really, really cool. And I think that builds empathy in the situation where you realize they're not the enemy. They're just trying their best, kind of like I am, but just in a different way. They're seeking for safety, I'm seeking for safety.
Right. We just both have these like maladaptive ways of trying to be safe and be, feel safe.
So we've talked about so far, the first layer is voicing your needs. Actually, first getting clear on what you need. Really, really understanding what you need in the relationship. Instead of criticizing, maybe go into that place where you're voicing your needs, slowing down and trying to tap into some of that empathy. What are other things that you feel like are helpful for people who are just like stuck? They're not getting a lot from their partner. They want to maybe increase more understanding and they kind of feel stuck. What do you feel like is also helpful in this situation, if we continue to kind of explore helpful approaches?
I think getting really clear on what your needs are and then how your partner, like how that would feel most fulfilling for you, for that partner to meet that need. Like, I think it's really helpful to be able to come to the conversation with as much like concrete like examples as possible, because your partner may have no idea how you're perceiving their behavior or what they are and aren't doing. So when you can start naming examples, when this happened, I perceived it as X, or it, when you do X, it really makes me feel like this need is being fulfilled. And then, like you're saying on the other end, the avoidant partner has the opportunity to say, oh, like that's how that's coming across. That was intention. I only did that because of X. And oh, I didn't know that it meant so much to you if I would do blah, blah, blah. This is why I haven't been doing blah, blah, blah. Just Those real life examples, I think, are really helpful.
I think so too. I love the element of the interpretation. It's like, I see you do this, or I hear you do this, and this is how I interpret it. This is what's happening. It's a really non-blaming stance. It's just a simple statement of facts. Like, oh, when this happens, this is what happens for me. I hear this message. And you can check in with your partner at that point. Is that what you want me to hear? Or should I be listening for something else? And like getting curious about that. So I think that's huge, letting your partner know that. I was also thinking that when you're the more you're clear on your needs, you're stating them, you're being less critical, you're inviting, and you're being really clear on the messages maybe that you're picking up or that you think that they're sending, and like you just mentioned, we ought to do with some real specific examples, you're avoidant partner might become less avoidant because there's not as much fear there. You're creating a safe environment. They're going to feel more like more open to share things with you. And that could bring up some challenges for an individual if they're used to their partner shutting down. I'm sure, I mean, I can hear the people in the background screaming, like, no, I would just love them to say anything. Like, but there's a part of you that's kind of used to that, that throws off that homeostasis or what's normal. And so it might bring up some, you hear him talk about something and you're like, whoa, like you could get defensive or whatnot. But my thought is, I'm training my little dog right now. He's about a year old. We're working on a lot of things. And like, I definitely reward him when he does something good. Like, I want him to know, like, that was great, man. Even if it's like kind of half done, like we get close to like a full lay down, we're gonna give him a little something just to let him know he's in the right direction. I think it's the same thing, and I don't want to like make it sound like we're training our partners like dogs, because that sounds kind of patronizing and weird. But you get the point, where it's like, hey, I want to give them like a reward. The last thing you ever want to do is when your avoidant partner starts to crack open and share a little bit of something, is to throw up those defensive walls or tell them how they're doing it wrong. Because I go, okay, see ya. I've already done the avoidant thing forever. I know how to do that. I'm gonna go back to what's comfortable, and I'll come straight back to where I've always been.
Yes. The anxious person is gonna have to, like you're saying, get ready for whatever the person is sharing and not immediately jump into being defensive or deflecting or turning it around and blaming, whatever those tactics are, right? So totally, yeah, the dynamic's going to start shifting. When the avoidant finally says, well, I didn't do X because whenever I do that, you do da da da. And then anxious, and I'd be, oh yeah, I do that. And it's because of, we like you're saying, we both are coming from this fear-based place. We're both fearful of getting hurt, and we both have these ways of managing that fear that we have.
And it's an odd concept, this idea that we're kind of talking about, which is like turning towards discomfort instead of away from discomfort. Because it's funny that we call it anxious or avoidant attachment or fearful, because I feel like we're either side of that spectrum. We avoid things even if we are a bit more pursuant and like quote unquote anxiously attached, and we are definitely anxious if we're on the avoidance side. But I think about, the word avoidance in general is where a lot of discomfort and pain comes from. I'm going to avoid my own discomfort and pain of feeling like I'm not important by pursuing my partner and criticizing them and getting really anxious. Okay. I'm going to avoid the pain of not feeling like I'm good enough by like withdrawing and just saying, peace out. I'm not going to be here anymore. And so learning how to handle it when that dynamic starts changing, you start creating safety. I sometimes tell people, I'm like, hey, if you all of a sudden are hearing a bit more of what kind of sounds like a complaint, because maybe they don't know how to voice it as a need yet. Maybe the avoidant partner, they don't have practice voicing things as needs either. They might start with, okay, you don't want me to be avoidant, blah, I'm gonna like get kind of critical. And you might go, whoa, I don't want that. That's not what I was looking for. But just be patient. Like, know, like, hey, this is their first try. They're just giving it a roll. You're learning how to ask for what you need. They're learning it too. Just stay real close to that discomfort. Get right up in it and be like, oh, wow. Yeah, that hurts. Tell me more. I want to know. And it's not in human nature to run towards pain, but we wind up getting through it a lot faster and a lot more constructively when we do that, I feel like.
Right. Yeah, I think both, well, the avoidant, you know, back to what you're talking about, like tapping into that empathy and understanding, the avoidant their nervous system, right, learned. That's why I really loved to emphasize the nervous system and those trauma responses.
Mm-hmm.
But the avoidant learned to associate closeness with threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so of course the avoidant is going to default to avoiding closeness because it's been associated with threat, hurt, disappointment, shame, you know, feelings of not being good enough. So the avoidant is going through their own, like I was saying, that was their wounding. So they're going through their own journey of realizing that, oh, I can be close and it can also be safe to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if we go along that same vein of finding empathy, you know, from the fact that, yeah, it is the nervous system that is feeling this stuff. And it's not that they're just sitting here like making these conscious decisions that like, oh yeah, this is, you know, how I'm going to respond or whatnot. And I think about also it's things that the nervous system has learned from basically the most early years of their life. Right. 0 to 4 years old is primarily where all this stuff is built. And it's like, okay, you expect me to all of a sudden, like even hearing this, let's say all parties are listening. They're like getting the concepts, like cool. Cognitively, I got it. But neurologically, it's a physical thing. It's literally your brain's connections. We need a little electrician kind of work through some practice, through some opportunities to make mistakes and come back from it. Because my goodness, you've had this program of this wiring since you were born. So be patient with yourselves, be patient with your partners. It's going to take a minute to figure out how to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something as quote, simple as realizing you're being triggered, like that awareness, and then maybe saying, I need a minute, and walking mm-hmm. away.
Mm-hmm.
That's progress.
It's huge. That's
you not jumping into being critical and instead just taking a moment, right?
Yeah.
Let's like you're saying, let's honor every shift in the direction we're trying to get.
Yeah. Reward it like crazy. Honor it like crazy. Because, yeah, it is huge. Because even just what you described, we think about it from that neurological standpoint again. You are interrupting the pattern. Whatever the pattern is, it's hear something, feel the anxiety, you know, my heart starts racing, whatever. There's a bunch of cues and it leads to maybe get critical, lash out. That's usually the pathway. And the brain's really good at it. It's like, I've done that for years. I know how to do it. Boom. I don't even have to think about it. But the second you step out, you do something different, or maybe you even, you know, it's funny. There's a really odd intervention that sometimes we'll use with couples where we'll have them. It's like the minute you start fighting, you have to do this thing. Like, and you're like, you can fight as long as you want. We don't care. Keep the fight going, but you got to go like stand in the bathtub. Or you got to go like jump on the tram while you fight, or like just something. First, it's going to be kind of silly and that'll interrupt it. But also it's just a new neural pathway. It just tells the brain, hold on, we're doing something different here. And that's a big win.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Interrupting the pattern. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, Erica, I know that you've got a hard cutoff for today because you have other really important things to do, but I'm so grateful that we got to chat, though it be a bit brief. For those who are listening, who would like to find out more about you, where can they go to learn more about you and what you offer?
Well, thanks. Yeah, I'm primarily on Instagram, your.relationship.reset. And all my content's on there, my workshops, one-on-one coaching is all available. Yeah, I'd love to, continue to be a part of somebody's journey who's ever here listening and wants more content.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for having me, I just have to say.
Hey, thank you. It's been so fun. I've loved it. And I will include the link that you have like in your bio has basically all your contact info, the things that anybody could want to know about you, I'm sure. So I'll include that in the podcast description for those who are listening. And yeah, thanks again for joining me. It has been phenomenal. And we'll have to reconnect again sometime soon.
For sure, for sure. Thank you again, Trevor.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you once again for joining me on another episode of the Art of Healing podcast. Again, if you'd like to access the Connection course, remember the discount code is POD15. You can find the link to that in the description of this podcast through the link on my Instagram, TikTok, and other places. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on the Art of Healing podcast.